Everybody's talking about The Acolyte. The trailer's out. Speculation is beginning. We were just on, at Speculation Nation this past Thursday, diving into all these theories and thoughts that could be happening with the show. We touched on this a little bit, but today it's time to ask the real question, which is how big of a role will Yoda have in The Acolyte? So welcome, everybody, to TRB. That's right. It's the Resistance Broadcast. Welcome to our discussion show. We are going to talk all about that later, and we also have other cool topics. In all Acolyte, Will of the Force, some questions submitted by our patrons. And with me, as always, I'm John. With me, as always, is Lacey Gillerin and James Bainey. What's going on? Lacey, rocking some brand. Got the TRB shirt going.
I am. I love it so much. I've been wearing it for 4 days straight.
That's right. And I've been doing the same with my Belgian prop crew shirt from Star Wars Celebration in London. And James has the Star Wars Celebration Luke Skywalker Return of the Jedi artwork from London. Mm-hmm. It's very cool. 40th anniversary of Return of the Jedi. So
excited to see what they come up with for Japan.
I know.
Yeah.
Very cool. I'm looking forward to it. But yeah, so we talked about that Thursday. Star Wars Celebration tickets go on sale the week of May the 4th. So that's a big week. There's a lot going on that week. We got the movies coming back in the theaters. Do you think either one of you are going to check out any of the movies? Because I can't tell if it's a marathon or if all the movies are just going back in and you get to pick which one to go see.
Like, I think it's a marathon, they said. It was all 12 back to back to back. 12 hours.
Nine. They're just doing the 1 through 9, I think.
Oh.
Yeah.
Then, yeah, they said it was like 12 hours or whatever.
I think that when they do this stuff in the past, don't they normally just schedule the times as like,
yeah,
like it's like, you know, you can buy tickets to the 10 a.m. You can buy tickets to the 1 p.m. You can buy tickets to the 4 p.m. And then it's over the course of 2 days, isn't it? It's over the course of the weekend.
I thought it was just May the 4th.
They just started it at 9 a.m. and it ended when it ended.
But Lacey, the 9 movies, I think, is like 20 hours. Because each movie's over 2 hours.
Someone online said it was like 12. 12
That's
hours.
Why I'm saying I think it's actually over 2 days. Maybe I'm wrong on that. I don't know.
But
we'll find out. Any interest? I am interested in seeing the Phantom Menace in the movie theater.
Gosh, yeah.
Have it's you never tough. Seen it in the
I want to see Phantom them all Menace? In the theater, but
yeah, I saw it when it came out.
Oh yeah, okay. Yeah, I wanted to take Johnny to it, but now I'm like, ooh, should I take him to see like one of the other movies instead? I don't know.
Force Awakens, you know?
Oh, I want to see Awakens in the theater again.
Yeah, that's a fun theater movie. Well, we'll see. All right.
Gotta catch Attack of the Clones.
Before we get into Will the Force, I just want to quickly say to anyone who's recently joined us, of course, make sure you are subscribed to the podcast on your preferred audio platforms. Spread the word, as I always say. If you are new to the show and you found us in other ways, thank you for being a part of what we got here. Either way, if you've been with us for a long time or a short time, tell your friends about the podcast. Then, of course, the channel, if you're watching youtube.com/@theresistancebroadcast. But do hop over to patreon.com/resistancebroadcast. We had a couple of people recently join. A lot of extra footage, content and stuff we have going on our Patreon. So give it a look. Tiers start at $5. And it goes a long way to supporting what we're doing here, including our trek to Japan next year. So for Star Wars Celebration. So thank you all very much. We appreciate it. And one of the aspects of being a patron is you get to submit topics to the show. And James is going to kick off that segment right now. And it is called Will of the Force.
I fear nothing for all this as the Force wills it.
All right, Will of the Force. Guys, are you excited to get back into this yet again? Especially this Acolyte-only version that we're doing this week. We asked questions to the patrons and they sent in at least this question right here. General Chris Morales sent us the question. He's been getting a lot of questions in, hasn't he?
It's his week.
Yeah. With super chats and the Ask the Resistance and the Will of the Force. All right, Chris, your question was, assuming the red lightsaber from the trailer is from a Sith and not a dark side user, will we see the Jedi keep it a secret, much like they did with the Nameless. Now, I know you guys aren't huge High Republic fans. Do you know what Chris is referring to in this moment?
I looked it up.
So looked it up.
They're creatures that eat people who have high midichlorian counts.
So I'm not, without the details, just the general consensus of what's going on here. Yes, they did encounter an evil that they were just denying. Like, they were like, if we could just kind of sweep this all under the rug and tell people that there was no evil, there's nothing to worry about, kind of thing. Whereas they very clearly did have to deal with other evils in the galaxy, but with this one particular one, the path that they chose was to try to just sweep it under the rug. Now, do we think that because that has already happened in this era, that they would continue that into the Acolyte and more with this dark side, you know, character or whatever? Lacey, what do you think?
I think we had a really good discussion about this on Thursday, but going off of that conversation, I think that this show is once again going to show how bad the Jedi are with handling situations with dark side users and or accepting that not everything is perfect. If there's one thing I've learned about the Jedi in the past few years, is that they were so kind of arrogant that they didn't want to accept that something was bad. And similar to what you just said, James, with the High Republic books where and comics and whatnot, where they're just kind of pushing stuff under the rug, I would not expect anything less in this show as well, because you have to then make it match up with what we see in The Phantom Menace, Attack of the Clones, and Revenge of the Sith, where you kind of go, how did they not see this? And it has to be because for the longest time they've been avoiding these situations and or ignoring them. So I'm going to say we will see them keep a secret.
What do you think, John?
I don't like that idea. Just to be clear, I'm not saying your thoughts are, I don't like Lacey. I'm saying I know. I don't like the Jedi doing that.
I don't either, to be clear.
especially to that grand of a scale. We saw Obi-Wan hide things from Luke, Yoda hide things from Luke, and that's like a more of an intimate, personal thing. But to put people in jeopardy to the point of we're going to hide this knowledge, I think is even too stupid for the Jedi. And so I think I don't know if it's going to be just like a Rogue One thing, but I just have this feeling, I have a bad feeling about this, that all the Jedi we're seeing in those flashbacks that are going to be, you know, regrouped, reunited together in the present time for the Acolyte aren't going to have a nice fate by the end of this thing. And I don't think it's going to be, and we'll touch on this later, but I don't think it's going to be a situation where like Yoda's in the mix in this story. We may see him at the Jedi Temple or something, but I would have a hard time if the Jedi encounter this uprising and try to hide it or bury it or ignore it. And then we're like, so that's why Palpatine got into the Senate and did all this stuff. So I have a hard time with it. So I'm going to say they will not keep it a secret. Whoever survives this show.
You know, one thing that sort of bothered me about the end of Obi-Wan is when we saw this great scene happen between or with Vader, you know, where he gets his mask broken and all this other stuff. And you hear the voice of it, you know, and all this. And I was like, but we already got this in another thing. They did something really cool on a lower tier and then raised it up to live action so more people saw that thing. Which makes me think that maybe they would do it. But there's two things where I think I agree with you guys that they're not going to do this. And it's that, A, I don't think the Nameless and keeping that and sweeping it under the rug was a big takeaway from the High Republic. Whereas I do think the end of season two of Rebels, you know, with the Ahsoka Vader fight was a big takeaway.
Didn't Lacey say they would keep it a secret?
I did. I didn't want to correct him.
Okay.
I did think they were going to keep this a secret.
John doesn't think
that they will. I just said that I don't want them to, which is probably where
right.
Because I said I agreed with that I don't want them to, but I think that they will.
Okay. So, yeah. So taking that idea from something that has already sort of happened and elevating it. But I don't really think it was that big of a deal in the High Republic that they did that. Like it wasn't a big takeaway, like I said. And the other thing is I don't think Leslie Headland is like, oh, that's a great idea. I'm going to elevate that. I'm going to make it even crazier. I just think she wrote her own story and that, and it's just one of a billion ways that the Jedi can handle, you know, bad things happening to them. How are they going to handle it? They handled it that way with the Nameless. Probably unlikely that another author came up with the exact same story, you know? So I'm going to say no, but it's always possible.
I just think it's kind of, yeah, I just find it to be kind of a reflection of not only nowadays, but throughout history with how governments work or people in power work in general, is that they only share what they want to share. They don't share every single detail of everything that's happening mm-hmm. because then they can't stay in power or things might get crazy or people panic or whatever. People just tend to keep things close to the chest. You know what I mean? So that's why I'm saying that I think this is a great question from Chris that, do you think they're going to keep things to themselves? I think they do because we saw them do it in the prequel trilogy. We see them do it all the time. I mean, in the original trilogy, they kept tons of stuff from Luke until he was, you know, so from a certain point of view, and Luke's like, why didn't he tell me this stuff? And they're like, well, we didn't think it was important at the time. Like, that's right. Like the way of the Jedi. Not that you're wrong, James. I'm just explaining my thought thoroughly.
No, I get it. So we'll see. We'll find out if they elevate that storyline and make it how they're going to handle the Sith in the or, you know, whoever the Stark's identity is, whatever it is. I do tend to think that it's more likely a Rogue One situation where everybody involved just gets killed and the Sith are like, man, God, that was close. They almost told everybody, you know, we were almost unveiled. Ooh, good thing we killed them all. All right, let's move on to the next one here. This is another Will question because it's Will the Force. Will the ancient Jedi texts be explored further in The Acolyte? John, I'm going to assume that you want to answer this question in the positive format because I think you think we're going back to Octo.
I think we're going back to Octo. I think it would be cool if someone like removed some of the books or did something to manipulate something. But ultimately,
like ripped out one of the books of the Bible or something, you know, kind of thing, like lost. Book so, of Judas I think, or whatever.
But I ultimately, as I think about it further, I don't think the texts are going to be involved. It'd be interesting, but I do think we're getting Octo. But I'm going to assume the texts are going to be left as is, and maybe because they didn't know they were there or something like that. I think the more of the focus is going to be on the Sith hole, the dark side hole in Octo.
I've been famous for this kind of stance before, but I'm just going to run the probability of the math. I'm just going to assume it's not Octo. It just like logistically, it makes sense in the story, but it's like logically, mathematically, it kind of is just more likely another planet that has cliffs and water. So because of that, I'm just going to hedge my bet on no, it's not Octo, and therefore the Jedi texts aren't even really part of the story. Plus, the other aspect of it, if John, like you bring up, is sort of like if they go there and they're the dark side people and they're there, and the texts are right over there. I don't know. Like, why aren't they messing with the ancient Jedi temple and stuff? I don't know. Maybe it's more preserved. Maybe they're the people who like burn it down to where it is when Luke finally gets there. Maybe it has been preserved for all these centuries. And I don't know. But I say no, they're not going to do it. Lacey, what do you think?
I'm going to keep my answer kind of short here because I don't really have much to add. But I think the ancient Jedi texts will not be explored in The Acolyte. I don't think that's necessary. They might be shown, but I don't think they're going to be like thoroughly explored or detailed. Or I think it's just going to be happenstance where it's like, hey, those were in The Last Jedi. Hey, mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's where that happened. I just don't think it's necessary. And there is seemingly a lot that needs to be explained over the course of these 8 episodes.
All right. Well, we just touched on the history of the Jedi. I'm going to bounce it right back at you, Lacey, with, are we traveling to the ancient Sith world of Moriband in The Acolyte?
This is a good question. I haven't considered this. I'm going to be honest. I said this in my trailer reaction on our YouTube channel, but I am treating this show like a total enigma, and I haven't really considered anything or speculated. This is right now me getting into the speculation this past week. I haven't really given much thought to it. I want to go into this show fresh. I don't want to go into the show with like picking it apart based on legends or anything like that, or even canon stuff as well, obviously. But I'm going to say no, they will not travel there.
All right. John?
Oh,
do you think we're going there?
Please.
I think he wants you to go, James.
I say they'll... Okay. I say they'll mention it, but not go there. Mm. But I think that could be similar to when Luke said, at the height of their power, they allowed Darth Sidious, and we're like, oh my gosh, you know, it's just like this mention of a name. I think somebody saying the Sith born of Moriband, you know, or something along these lines, like the ancient world from where they came, you know, all this stuff. Like, I think that a mention could be there and we would all be like, oh, heck yeah, they're canonizing some really cool stuff here, when really also they're not, because it doesn't make those things canon. It only makes the name of the place they came from canon. Mm-hmm. But I don't think we're going to go there.
Yeah.
We're going to save that for, you know, the Mangold movie or something.
Yeah. wasn't Moriband where Yoda went in the Clone Wars? Was it during the Mortis arc?
No.
Where Cad Bane, or not Cad Bane, geez, Darth Bane showed up.
Yeah. That wasn't related to Mortis, but it was related to the life stream or the life spring of the Force. And he was talking to those creatures and everything. And he was having all those visions of different things that could happen and all this other stuff. That does kind of sound familiar. I can look that up, but
it's canon, just so you know that. More, I mean, it is canon. Like, it's in StarWars.com, the planet. But I'm going to say that. I'm going to say no, because of the design of the show. Is it's supposed to sort of be this detective story and they're uncovering secrets. And I think it would be way too on the nose to be like, we found this ancient Sith thing on this ancient Sith world. It's like, oh, you did. Oh, excellent.
You mean like the Wayfinder in The Rise of Skywalker?
Yeah, well, but who's, like, not very clever of Palpatine to hide that there, you know? Or unless Vader was Vader's call, I don't know. But I don't think they're going to go there. I don't even know if it'll be mentioned. So I'm saying we will not be traveling to Moriband in The Acolyte.
As I look it up, it was mentioned in... Or it was first appearance was the Clone Wars episodes you're talking about. So it probably was stated by either Darth Bane or Yoda in that moment. It was also mentioned in the From a Certain Point of View of Empire Strikes Back, which is interesting. But the interesting, most interesting to me is that it was in the junior novel for The Rise of Skywalker, not the regular novelization, but it was mentioned in the junior novel of The Rise of Skywalker. So at some point, Palpatine or Kylo Ren mentioned Moriband, which is interesting at that time. Kind of cool. But we got more questions, specifically one coming from a patron, Admiral Stephen Garrow.
Steven.
And Stephen sent us the question, will we see Yoda as a key character in The Acolyte? And we're finally going to get to Super Chats and other Ask the Resistance questions that we had on Thursday that we redirected to Monday's show. Let's talk about it really quickly. John, you're going first on this one. Thoughts on Yoda in The Acolyte?
Yoda is going to have a very small role in The Acolyte. So much so that they're going to be able to do puppet Yoda. And he's not going to be as involved as I think some people may think. And I'll expand upon that in the discussion.
I also think that he's going to be in The Acolyte. He will show up. Lacey?
Well, the question is, do you think the question is, do you think he'll be a key character? Not that he'll show up, James.
So no.
Okay. You don't think he's going to be a key character. I also don't think he's going to be a key character in the show.
Ooh. All right.
Now we're going to get to our discussion later, but Lacey.
Yeah, it's time for the Patreon pod race. All right, guys, it's time for the Patreon pod race. Back again, which is super exciting. For those of you that are just joining, it's been a while since we've done these. We just did our first one last week for a very long time, actually. But this is a part of the show that we bring in some of our patrons to take part, our generals and spice runners. And there's lots of ways you can support us. You can like this video, comment, subscribe, follow us on social media at TRB Podcasts. Make sure to leave us a review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. It lets people know how we're doing. And it also lets people find us. Because as you rate us and give us reviews and stuff, people come across it, which is awesome. But if you want to be a part of what we're doing here, be in the Resistance base, a part of our community, and support the show, you can head over to patreon.com/resistancebroadcast. Starting at just $5 a month, you get to take part in submitting questions like we just did, being a part of our Discord as you go up, and seeing exclusive videos and mini episodes and much, much more. But this part of the show, we ask a question to our generals and spice runners, and then they record an answer and send it back to us, which is really cool. So they get to actually be in the show. And it's a fun way to just hear some varying points every week. But before we get to that, I first want to thank those people for supporting us. So thank you to our generals, Carmelo, John Reese, Jetta Rosewater, Frank Grande, Nick Kratz, Christian Morales, Brian Smith, Matt Chitty, Danny, Mike Ramori, Brendan McLaughlin, Sneaky Zebra, Colin Cormer, Dave Hornack, and Jolton Jedi DiMaggio. Thank you guys so much. And our runners who are keeping it spicy. David Probus, Neil Shaw, Kendall Gelnar, Andrew Staley, Jeremy Myers, and the Fort Worthian. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
This week we have Andrew Staley, Woo! Not only one of our spice runners, but one of the nicest Star Wars fans and just all around awesome people I've ever met in my life. And his question, because he's the Rey super fan, Daisy Ridley super fan, Rey super fan, which I adore about him because I'm also a big fan of Rey. His question was, Daisy Ridley has said no kids for Rey. As one of the biggest Rey fans in the galaxy, like I just said, what are your thoughts on the subject? So Andrew, take it away.
Thanks for the question. In my opinion, I don't think Rey will have kids. Instead, I think she will choose to adopt or bring in kids in keeping with the trope of found family from her story in the sequel trilogy. I also think it will help to break from the bloodline of the Skywalker trilogy. And so this will be an all-new family as part of her story. So we'll see what happens in a couple of years, but either way, I'm looking forward to it, and I really appreciate the question and the opportunity to come on and be with you guys. So thank you very much, and a special shout out to all my friends from Celebration. Hopefully we'll see you in a couple of years or in a year. May the Force be with you all.
Awesome job, Andrew. It's great to see you on the show again. Love hearing you talk about Rey. So John, what'd you think?
Andrew, you're the man. Hope you're doing well, buddy. It's good to see you, as Lacey said. I saw you say something about at the end of your pod race about Japan. So I assume you're all in and you're going. So that makes me excited too, that we're going to hang out again. I mean, sooner than that would be cool, but we can wait a year. Patience is the virtue of a Jedi. But I really do like your answer. You know, found family is a major part of Star Wars. We've dedicated episodes to it. It was a massive theme of The Rise of Skywalker. So that all checks out for me. And but you made an excellent point about the bloodline, because everyone keeps saying, well, she's not a Skywalker, so it's okay. You know, they're not continuing the Skywalkers. It's like, no, but they might be. They'd be continuing the Palpatine bloodline. So that's a great point. So I think for that reason, there's a lot to that that they may not explore. So I think this might have been one of your best Podrace answers ever. I mean, it's hard to think back to all of them, but I think you knocked it out of the park on this one. I think you did a great job. And it's just always good to hear from you and see you, buddy. You're such a positive presence, and you always put me in a good mood when we're talking Star Wars, whether it's in person, over a beer, at Celebration, or in the chats, or whatever. So again, hope you're doing well, buddy. It's great to see you, and awesome answer.
James?
Yep. Like John said, big time. Look forward to seeing you again, and glad to see you on the show. Man, it has been a while since we've been doing these, but it's good to see some faces. Killer answer, though. Like John said, two really great points that I had not considered. One being that thing of like continuing the bloodline, but more importantly, the one that strikes true for me and more of a reason why I think that it sort of makes sense is the found family aspect of like, yeah, there probably was a period in Rey's life where the most important thing to her was blood related family. But then she learned later in her life that family can be this other thing. So it almost seems like a person in that position, given the choice between having kids or adopting kids, would be more likely to adopt, because she's like, I've learned from this and I can take in these children and teach them these things and be mentors to them because they don't have other options, you know? She might not be taking them from other families. It might be sort of an orphan situation where she goes out and she was just wandering and found these kids who were on the streets or something along those lines and took them in for something better.
That's cool.
And that rings more true to Rey, who was alone in the desert scrapping, probably wishing that someone would come and say, I can give you something better than that. When family is not an option, you know what I mean? These kids want family, but what they really need is this other person. So it does. It's good, man. It's good stuff. It's good stuff.
Andrew,
thanks for doing it.
Great answer. I agree with John. I think this might be one of your best answers ever. It's just like really great, which is not surprising because it's about Rey, which is like your ultimate. Every time I hear you or see you, I just think of how pumped you were when Daisy Ridley came out on stage, and there's not one better person that should be standing there in front of her cheering her on than you at Celebration. So I have trouble with this answer only because I really want her to have children. That being said, I do agree with you that I think a great option to not continue her line, which we all know I hate Palpatine, to not continue her line would be to have adoptive children. And I think that does play into the found family thing. We see throughout the, you know, sequel trilogy, her kind of collecting friends and family along the way, from Finn and Poe to Leia to Luke. And then she collects Dio, you know, and Rise of Skywalker and BB-8. They all become her family and Chewbacca. So I think it would fit perfectly into that narrative that she does adopt children. And I think it's a great way that if Daisy Ridley was being sneaky in her interviews and saying, well, Rey doesn't have kids, because technically she doesn't, but she adopted kids, is a great way to get around that question as well. So awesome job. I think you did great. It's great to hear from you. I love that you gave a shout out to your Celebration friends. Shout out to all Celebration people. Can't wait to see you guys in a year or so. It's gonna come up quicker than you think. It happens every time. The past few years we're like, we have a year, and then it's like, we have a month. But yeah, great job. We're now gonna head into the discussion, John.
All right, let's do it. How big of a role will Yoda have in The Acolyte?
Obi-Wan once thought as you do.
All right, so Yoda will be around 770 years old in The Acolyte, so right in the prime of his life. Leader of the Jedi, and of course, a fan favorite to all. You know, from a perspective of audiences, I think it could be a smart move to put him out there to say, like, hey, Yoda's in this, come watch this. But just how big of a role is he going to have in the series? You know, we touched on it in Will of the Force. We touched on it a little less on Thursday because we knew this discussion was happening. Will he appear? All three of us seem to say yes. Will he be a key character? All three of us seem to say no. And then also the fun stuff. Like, we love puppets on this show. We also love impressive CG. Will Yoda be CG or a puppet? You know, we know he was a puppet in Phantom Menace to start, and then they replaced him with CG. And clearly the action sequences required more of a CG version of him. So that also depends on how big his role will be. So how much of the rising darkness will Yoda experience, and how will that change how we look at him as we head into the prequels again after watching The Acolyte? So I'll just start where my initial thoughts on this were, which is I hope Yoda has a small role in this series. I hope he doesn't encounter things that are so grave, which you can't base a show on the dark side and have it be this sort of like, it could be a threat. It has to be something very formidable that makes this show necessary. And when I think of it that way, I don't see how Yoda would ever experience something like that and try to bury it. I don't think Yoda's a corrupt politician. I think he's made mistakes and he's done things to protect individual people. But this would be something that would be Nixonian or you know, something that is, you know, pretty corrupt to and could cost lives. So I'm, for all those reasons, I'm hoping he's in it because I want to see him. I'm hoping he's a puppet, and I'm hoping he has a small role, but gives one of those, you know, like Rebels, one of those really cool speeches that we can say, like, and get Frank Oz, of course, and say, like, that's a Yoda moment. That's a great Yoda moment. It's unique, and it serves the story, but he's also not going to be held responsible because everything else that happens, he's not around to encounter. And you could say, like, well, Yoda uses the Force. Yoda should be able to sense what's happening to these other Jedi in these other parts of the series. But then you add the whole element of the dark side clouding it and why they weren't able to sense Palpatine and that stuff. So I'm going to give Yoda a free pass because I think Yoda is very precious. He's a special character to George Lucas. I don't think they should tamper too much with that. I've already said I think they've used him too much. So for all the reasons I've listed, I'm hoping he's not going to have that big of a role. Where are you guys at with this?
Go ahead, James.
Yeah, I think that summarizes pretty much what I'm thinking. It's tricky too, because if you have this character, we talked a little bit, I'd like to at some point touch a little bit more on the trailer too, because
sure,
if you do involve this character, there is a lot of sense to say, let's put it in the trailer. And then also Star Wars does a lot of like, well, Qui-Gon's in there, we should put him in the trailer, but they don't, they hide him, you know? So it's like, I don't know which one they're going to go with. But either way, it would be kind of strange to put him in the trailer and then him like, only have that one scene. Like, we already saw it in the trailer, and then in episode 7 he shows up, does that one scene and leaves. I feel like that could be pretty cheap too. So maybe it's similar to the Obi-Wan or the Qui-Gon thing, is like, because it's such a small part that they plan to have that character in, they won't show him in the trailer. I don't know, man, it's tough. That being said, though, I think we're all in agreement that it's likely that he won't have a very key role because of how high up he is at this point. And if the Sith story is getting all the way up to the top, then Yoda only has one choice, or he has two choices. He can pursue it or he can bury it. And we all sort of agree, or we think we, you know, that Yoda probably isn't the type of person to bury that story,
right?
You know, to work with his like close guys and be like, well, we should just never talk about this again. That doesn't seem like him. That seems like other Jedi below him. But I also want to raise this question too, because John, you said you hope he's a puppet. I think he's going to be CG.
Really?
If he's in the show. Yeah. Mm. Because I think we've advanced a lot that we could probably pull it off even better than we did in the past. But secondly, the other thing for me is like sort of how you've said, you know, how they won't recast characters after like a certain point because, and then it's that character from then on. I think like if we have CG Yoda at this point and also CG Yoda later down, you know, if they ever do like a younger flipping around Yoda and stuff, they do that one CG too. Then he's CG all the way up until Revenge of the Sith. And then after that, he's A New Hope. He's a puppet from that point
forward. I don't like how Yoda looks in the prequels. To me.
No, I get that.
Yeah.
Oh.
And I don't mean that's to jump
he's
in.
He's a but very just, round head. Very round.
Don't you? So just real quick, indulge me here. So 900 years old, and the prequels start 30 years before that. So just divide that by 10. So he's 90 years old, for argument's sake, in Empire Strikes Back. And he's 87 in the prequels. And George is like, he's got to look younger. I'm like, no, he doesn't. So I just think his face looks a little gremlin-y. I think they messed up how Yoda looks a bit. I mean, I think they also screwed up how Chewie looked in Revenge of the Sith.
I think, but I agree.
So that's all I have to say. I think they just made Yoda unnecessarily look different in the prequels, and I'm not sure why.
Well, we can talk more about that. I have things to say, but I want to hear Lacey's thoughts on just generally Yoda in The Acolyte.
There's a lot here. You guys made some really good points. I think that Yoda is one of those characters that's easily recognizable to anybody that likes Star Wars or doesn't. If you show him to anybody, they're like, oh, that's Yoda. Just like if you were to show them a picture of Darth Vader. It's like one of those pop culture icons that no matter who you are, what you like, you know certain characters. Like everybody knows Harry Potter. Everybody knows, I don't know, Spider-Man.
Bugs Bunny.
It's the same thing. Nowadays, Warner Brothers trying to delete all that. But
Mickey Mouse.
Mickey Mouse, sure. Yeah. So I just feel like it would be silly to have a time period where Yoda could still be part of this story and not have him in it. Especially when this is supposed to be the high time of the Jedi. We're meeting him. We've met him so far, should I say, at the time where the Jedi fall and then he goes into hiding and then he's right. Like being this weird creature that then ends up to be this great master, you know? So I think as Star Wars fans, we've always wanted to see him in his prime as the master, as the person that's part of this big golden age of Jedi. We get a little bit of that in the kids show, you know, Young Jedi Adventures. We see him like hanging out with them all the time, which I'm like, right. Doesn't this guy have things to do?
Yeah.
But
like you get the books and he's not involved in any like the Dren gear and all that. Like he's not even talking about it. But yet these kids need to go and collect some fruit from, you know,
and he's like, hey, you tried real hard in that boat race. Here's a lightsaber that I was holding just for you, Kai.
Yeah.
Look, it's cute. It's adorable, but it's a little ridiculous. That being said, I think that Yoda would be a great character to bring into this show that would then tie it back to what everybody knows of Star Wars without feeling like they've been left out. In the sense of, say, someone loves the original trilogy but haven't really gotten into anything that Disney's done recently, but they love Yoda. Yoda's their favorite character. They're going to come back and watch this show if Yoda's in it. Or someone's going to say, hey, I saw that Yoda came back. And I'm sure, which many of us felt that way, when The Mandalorian came out and Grogu came out, everyone was like, is that baby Yoda? Obviously, we called him that. Is that Yoda as a baby? And it's like, no, that doesn't make sense in the time period. And you had to explain that to everyone you knew. Like, no, that is not Yoda. So
baby Yoda.
Right. That in itself explains that having Yoda in the show would just be a great idea and or connection. That being said, I think we're going to see him in a trailer at some point. I really think we're going to see one on May 4th because doesn't this launch on June 4th, right? A month prior is May 4th. So they could literally put out a trailer being like, coming in a month. And then it's like Yoda. And you're like, oh my God, it's Yoda. And then it's going to draw in people that don't normally watch these shows or, you know, subscribe to Disney Plus. It's a great way to drive people to Disney Plus, even though they seemingly are having really great success with like the fifth rendition of Taylor Swift's concert. Like, I don't know how people keep getting versions of this concert that she filmed that like everybody has their own version, but I digress. I don't think he's going to be a main character, because it's clear that the character May, played by Amandla, is the protagonist. She is the main character. However, I don't think it would be wrong to have him be in parts, whether it be in the Jedi Council or, you know, in a bigger discussion of what could be going wrong. But it gets tricky, which I'm sure we're going to get into in this discussion, mm-hmm. of at what point does it hurt his story, him being a part of the show? At what point is it too much Yoda? Because
yeah,
if you have him in the show, and obviously we don't know anything about the show except what they've shown us so far. If you have him in the show and he knows that something terrible is going on and he ignores it, and then he ignores all those things again, seemingly later on in the prequel trilogy, where he's like, yeah, something seems off, but like, we'll wait to see what happens. Like, that sets it up that he doesn't know what he's doing, and it makes him look lesser exactly. than a Jedi.
Yeah.
So it gets tricky, but I'm sure you guys have similar feelings. So I'm like cautious. I want to see it. I want to see it done. I think that they will do the puppet. I think CG, James, like you said, is the easier route, but I don't see why they wouldn't do the puppet. They have it from The Last Jedi.
Yeah. To James's point, I think he's saying because of the look, so we'd be leapfrogging sure. the prequel look. But I do hope it's a puppet. I mean, they got to bring back Frank Oz for sure. So I think that's got to be a lock. I think we all feel confident he's going to be in it, and we all seem to be on the same page about, like, it's, you know, like Yoda's that one like last character that still feels sacred. With mm-hmm. how George Lucas like came up with him and said, like, you know, no backstory, we don't know where he came from, and they pushed the envelope for sure with adding another version of the species with Grogu. But I like Yoda being shrouded in that mystery, so having him in the show still preserves that. But yeah, it just makes me feel like it will. You know how, like, I'm trying to think of like a good analogy for it, but it's almost like when you get disappointed by someone that you look up to so much. And that's the feeling that I think I would feel going forward watching Yoda in everything after this, because it would have to, if he's in the show and experiences all this stuff, like I said, he would have to purposely bury it. So that's why I'm hoping he's in the show. You know, even if he's in the show just at, you know, what I think is going to be the beginning, where we see May as a kid, seemingly we assume it's her, you know.
I assume it's her.
I sense fire. Even if we see Yoda then at the Jedi Temple, he walks into the room while Sol's teaching the kids, and he checks in and he asks them questions, and then he leaves. But he says something meaningful that maybe they'll carry with him and requote later in the show to like bookend it, because I love bookends.
Yeah,
but that'd be enough for me, because then they can go on this adventure, do these things, and Yoda can be absolved of it because he's not necessarily privy to it. And then when we experience Phantom Menace, it's not this different viewpoint where we're watching him saying, like, you know, disturbing this is, we'll look into it, because then we'll be like, he knows, he's known this for 70 years, this happened this long, you know. It would really dilute and make me look at him in a corrupt light. And I think that's dangerous for any character, but especially Yoda, because of what he means to George Lucas. And it would really change how we look at the stuff George Lucas made. And I think, I would like to think Leslie Headland is cognizant of that. So I think she, with Yoda in the show, I think she's going to be very, very careful. So I'm hoping that's the case.
I hear that. I really do.
I also have a hard time. So one of the things that I keep hearing is like, okay, well, the Sith show up, or this dark side user shows up, and, you know, they're very similar to the Sith in that way or whatever. And then the Jedi encounter him and they end up beating it, or they end up getting rid of it, and they're going to bury it because they don't want people to know about that. I don't see how that matches up at all, because you're also talking about the High Republic, where the Nile of like very clearly caused the great disaster across, you know, the galaxy. The Jedi are very openly fighting them. The Jedi are very openly fighting the Drengir as well. Now, the Nameless, yes, that was something that was happening. They were also dealing with that. They did sort of bury that. They did cover that up to some degree. But one Sith, you know, like, it doesn't seem like something that they would be scared, like, oh no, if people find out the Sith are back, it's going to be so much worse. Do you think, or am I
don't know
off on that? I mean, I'm thinking like the Nile are like a galactic disaster that the Jedi are openly like fighting against. That everybody knows about them. They like, they come in and they like bombed the
they're like pirates, right? They're like pirates in a sense.
Basically, yeah, but they're I mean, I don't know what you would compare them to in real life as far as history goes, but they're just so like anti the establishment that they're just trying to take down the regular order of things.
They're terrorists.
Yeah, I know. But like to be as open as they are, like, I feel like the Jedi are already in question with their authority on like, how are you guys handling all this and stuff? The only thing I can think is that this thing that's happening, if Yoda or it makes its way all the way up to the top there, is that it's possibly not that big of a deal to them. Is they're like, we've got other things to worry about. If you think there's a Sith out there, then go deal with it. And, you know, that's it.
Yeah, but then
never any like actual like fact.
Doesn't that makes the show feel cheap to me? Because then, like, if the show's all about, you know, the acolyte, whoever this acolyte is, whether it's May or someone else, and they twist it up on us Shalaman style, they're an acolyte to somebody, and the show's being told, the story's being told for a reason, not hey, we're just doing this show where, you know, one Sith popped up and Yoda was like, hey, just go take care of that. And it all went sideways. Like, this is this, they're making the show for impact. And I think it has to have a bigger stake than it just being like Yoda, like, yeah, go handle it. Sort of like, you know, go send Obi-Wan to a border dispute on Ancyon. It has to be more than that. And it's from a fan perspective too. You know, we could say all we want about the other antagonists in the High Republic. If we're being honest, they wanted to tell a story of the Jedi at the High Time, and they needed some levels of antagonists, and they had to dance around the elements of the dark side of the Force and figure out other antagonists that were a bit different. So I just think this is a bridge from High Republic. Like, this is in the High Republic era, technically, but it's a bridge to what we know. Like, the Acolyte, I think, is going to be used to help serve, you know, what's ahead. And I know Lacey hates it, but I think it will help understand the roots of Palpatine without him being in it or anything like that. Because I think there should be like a Plagueis element to that, because he is very mysterious. I'm not saying he has to be the main, you know, whoever this acolyte is following, but I just think that has to be more to it than it just being this surface level. Like, if you guys think that there's that going on, go check it out. I'm not trying to like distill what you're saying, but I think they don't make the show just to make the show. I think they're making the show because of impact.
All I'm trying to consider is how key of a character is Yoda going to be. You know what I mean? Yeah,
which this you don't stuff think he's really going
is
to
happening. I know all of this stuff is happening, and it is serious, and it is a serious threat when you get there and you're showing us that type of stuff. But I don't know. I guess like you could do a movie about like a group of military people who go in and are fighting, you know, against these people or whatever. How involved is the president, you know, in that movie? And it's like, probably not a lot. Probably there might be a scene where somebody up high is like, yeah, go deal with that, but we're not going to be as involved because we have all this other stuff to deal with. But then when you get down to and you strip away all the rest of it and you actually look at what's happening to these people, it's a very intense, serious story. But it's probably not looked over the highest of the high because they're dealing with all of this other stuff that has happened that's very open and very public. So they may be going like, dark side user, maybe. We haven't seen that in forever. If you think that's out there, then go trace it down. That's fine. But like, you know, we can't stop everything we're doing to go deal with that. And maybe that's part of the impact of the problem. You know, they didn't think this was a real issue. So they didn't really, the higher ups just sort of brushed it off. I don't know. Is that the same thing as Yoda knowing about it and burying it under the rug, or is it a little bit different where he's like, he was told about it and he's like, I don't know, go check it out. And then never heard anything else again.
That seems irresponsible too, though.
Well, it can be irresponsible, but it's not as bad as him knowing and hiding it.
I think they should just blame everything on Plo Koon.
I don't think they can have Yoda be the person that is hiding it or,
yeah,
you know, having a role to play in the bigger story, because like John and I have been alluding at, like, I think it will cheapen his story as this great Jedi master. You know, every time someone makes a list or even talks about the greatest Jedi of all time, Yoda's in the top three, if not top two. Yeah. So you can't then take his story and cheapen it by saying like this whole time he's been lying to everybody about all these issues and just kind of playing stupid.
Yeah, it's not as important for Yoda to be in this show as it is to preserve
his legacy.
The legacy, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like he made this one grave mistake and we understand that, but mm-hmm. I can't picture him making all these mistakes through however 900 years that he's living. Yeah.
And even
the
mistake he made.
And then it cheapens the fall too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's the pizza pie bet, right? Him in the trailer though, Lacey, right?
What do you mean? Oh, the pizza pie? Yeah, yep.
Yeah.
So we did make a pizza pie bet, everyone. Yeah. I am no longer doing face pie bets. I will do a pizza pie bet though. So I have to bring John a pizza if I'm wrong, which is I think that Yoda is going to be in the trailer for this show.
And I think he will not be. Or you could take me out for pizza. We could do that.
Sure. It's getting to a point now that you keep saying these things and people are going to be like, John really wants to hang out with Lacey.
I'll take a free meal on your account and then, you know, rub your face in it sort of thing.
Okay, fine.
I'm okay with that. Now watch Yoda shows up and then I have to buy pizza, to which then I'll just Uber Eats you pizza probably.
Don't Uber me. You have to bring it to me because I was going to bring the pizza to you.
Oh, I have to deliver it?
Yes.
All
right. I get to record you bringing it to the door.
I'll get a little Nero's outfit and knock over your lawn ornaments. our pie bet.
I officially written in the pie bet into the show notes, so it's now searchable.
Oh, thank you.
Back to it.
Thanks.
Important. Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. I did look up while you guys were talking. If people are watching the video and you see me looking to the right, I was looking up the definition of acolyte to make sure that I had the proper definition. And it is an assistant or follower assisting the celebrant in a religious service or procession.
Mm-hmm.
Or
do you remember the acolyte?
A member of a clergy.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember the acolytes of the beyond?
No,
we talked a lot about from Force Awakens and all of the
dark side
stuff with the,
weren't they called something like acolytes on Exegol too? The Sith acolytes
of the beyond. Oh, Sith acolyte, maybe. Yeah, I think that sounds right. Yeah,
yeah.
I don't remember that. I'm gonna be completely honest, but I do know that Leslie Headland has been saying that the acolyte isn't who you think it is. She made that clear.
Yeah, she said drop in the bucket or something like that. It's so kind of interesting. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so the safest thing there is that the Acolyte is a brand new character that has not shown up in the trailer.
It's Yoda.
The Acolyte. And that it is Yoda. That's why.
Oh, yeah. But you know what's funny? Like, so if the Acolyte is the big reveal or whatever, then we're not finding out who the Acolyte's working for, which is a problem. And I'm stepping outside of the story now because I think there's some confusion. There are, I think she said she planned to make this show multiple seasons, and people took that as, oh, they're making a season two. No, yeah, they're not. That this show has to do well. Like, don't forget Disney Plus, like, they're pivoting and they're moving stuff. They're literally turning shows into movies. They haven't ordered more series, at least that they've announced publicly for Star Wars. Once this run is out and Andor 2's out, we don't know what's coming next for Skeleton Star Crew Wars in live action. Huh?
Skeleton Crew as well. Skeleton Crew,
yeah, yeah. Andor, but season two. After Andor
Ahsoka season two, and then I think that's all we know.
Yeah, so this show has to do well. It has to be received well for them to do a season two. So in the worst case scenario, if it doesn't do well and they can't do season two, and let's assume that the reveal in this show, in this first season, is who the Acolyte is, and we don't find out who they're working for, then they gotta like figure out how to complete that story, and
it's
then
it gets
muddy. So, so I don't know. I like that it's called the Acolyte. That's the focus, but ultimately it has to lead to of who, you know. The Acolyte of who?
Yeah, the trailer of the teaser for the trailer for the movie, yeah, kind of thing.
Yeah.
We think May's the Acolyte, but it's not her. The Acolyte is actually this other person, but who does that?
And they got to be careful. Like,
they're an Acolyte.
I hope it's not one of those shows where they take, you know, you ever watch a movie and then it gets to the end and it just twists it up so much that the rest of the movie means nothing? Or like those movies where like people were dreaming the whole time and nothing happened. Like,
oh, stop, stop. No, please.
That stuff drives me bananas. And I'm not saying they're going to do that. But if they do a twist at the end of this where it's like, it was Soul the whole time, I'm going to be like,
it was a vision.
Yeah. Or it was this person the whole time. And it was like someone we fell in love with and we rooted for. Like, I hope they don't do it. Like, I hope they don't twist it up too much.
So you want like the big mystery to just be like something completely out of left field that doesn't.
I think the mystery is ultimately going to be who the Acolyte is, the follower of.
For.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the ultimate mystery.
Hmm. But they're pushing you a different way because they're saying, oh, the Acolytes. You're like, oh, who is the follower? That's not the story. The story is who is the person following.
Yeah. Yeah, who's the fool? Yeah.
Right,
the fool or the fool who follows him. I don't have much else on the Yoda thing, but unless I'm just going to be repeating stuff. So, do you guys have any other angles on this, or even, you know, anything from a humorous perspective? We talked about the puppet a bit and that.
I just hope it's Frank Oz because he deserves the role. I know you say that, but we've seen them give voice actor roles to random guy that is cheaper. You know what I mean? I'm not saying they're going to do that for Yoda, but I would hope that they wouldn't.
I saw Frank Oz on Twitter having to defend his knowledge of Sesame Street to random people because he didn't like the idea of Cookie Monster having an awareness of real life, certain real life things. And he's like, they're supposed to be in their own little world and they're aware of the outside. And he's explaining like the nature of how him and Jim Henson created these characters like 50 years ago or whatever. And these people are like, you're wrong. I'm like,
right. When he was talking about the Muppets and he was like, they wouldn't be doing the thing.
Yeah.
It was kind of like not just Frank Oz. It was also the guy that did Kermit the Frog. What was his name? Steve something. He was also in the attitude of, you know, Jim wouldn't have wanted them on a Geico commercial. Jim wouldn't have wanted them doing these things. And Disney's just, Disney's doing a terrible job with the Muppets. You know, I think Disney does a lot of great things. They have not handled the Muppets well. They are running them into the ground and they just don't get it. But yeah, that was one of the big things, is like that Muppet show that they did, that everyone's like, this is such a funny show. Like, Jim would have never done that show. Like, there's just a little bit of a disconnect of what the Muppets and these characters were created for and what they're then being used for now currently.
But who in their right mind thinks like, I'm going to tell the guy who created these characters with Jim Henson that he doesn't get it and I do? Like, are you crazy? Like, what are we doing? Like, that's so bizarre. That's like telling Paul McCartney how to write a song. Like, or this, the Beatles should have done this. Like, what are we doing? Like, I that blew my mind. And then he had to like explain why he was defending himself to people. I'm like, Frank Oz, you don't have to do anything, dude. Like, I can't believe that you even had to defend yourself because you told that person that they had a bad take on Cookie Monster.
He's like, in the Disney Legends this year. Him and John Williams.
And Harrison Ford.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think like Miley Cyrus.
Good for her. She worked so hard. She did a video this week where she read her old schedule when she was 13. And it was like, wake up 5:30 a.m. for hair and makeup. Interview 7:30. Interview 7:45.
Oh, yeah. I'm not saying that.
She totally deserves the legends.
They made John Williams wait till he was 92.
Well, I think they only started doing it a couple of years ago.
Oh, is that what it is? Okay.
Yeah, and they used to do only like 4 people a year. Uh-huh. So they did like Carrie Fisher, they did Mark Hamill, they did Oprah 1 year, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, Oprah.
So now they do more.
It seems like an odd way to start. Disney Legends, Mark Hamill and Carrie Fisher, also Oprah.
Carrie Fisher like got it.
Two from Star Wars? Like, spread it out or something, you know?
Well, I think because she passed away, they were like, Legends.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Yoda thing, quickly, it seems like I'm on the side that he's in the show, but, you know, the more we talk about it and stuff, it almost feels like really sketchy to put him in any capacity other than we need the views.
It's risky.
And so I think it feels like where we're at is sort of like cameo at best. Like, he shows up, says something,
that's what I'm saying,
goes away, and has nothing to do with the story at all. So he's only there literally to be in the trailer and has almost nothing to do with the story at all, but they just would put him in just to get people to watch the show.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, they can't.
That almost makes me feel like when we're having that discussion, then somebody just goes like, guys, this character is not necessary. We can reference him, but like, why are we putting him in the show and tricking people into watching the show when he's not even like in it or
the
having
same reason, the same reason why C-3PO and R2 and Chewbacca and almost Han Solo in the prequels, because they were around at that time and people, you know
those characters,
familiarity. Like, don't think George Lucas wasn't doing the fan service nostalgia thing. He absolutely was, like, for crazily. Mm-hmm. The Yoda thing, though, it's like,
but those characters
in this small window of getting people to watch your show more because Yoda's in it is not, in my opinion, not worth potentially damaging how that character is viewed in overall. So
right. I'm not saying to include him. I'm arguing like maybe he's not even in the show.
Yeah, and that, I'd be fine with that too. But I think we all said we think he will be. So now we're just tossing the hypotheticals out there. But good chat though. But you know, I'm curious what you think out there. You know, I want to hear what our audience thinks, whether it's in the comments on YouTube or social media, TRB podcasts, or on our Discord server on Patreon. Like, want to hear about it because you know, the three of us don't always align on our discussions, and we happen to all be relatively on the same page on this one. So want to see if there's any varying points of view out there. Do you want all Yoda? Do you want him to be hiding a corrupt hider of information? So let us know. But thank you anyway to all of you for listening and watching and being a part of what we got going on here at TRB. It means a lot to us. You heard all the plugs before, so now we'll just say we'll be back with you on Thursday night for TRB Live, where we'll dive into the latest news or if anything else comes out. And for me, Johnny Hoey on social media and my movie pod, Just Like the Movies. And we're starting to do, you know, every once in a while, getting back into doing other reactions. I reacted to the Beetlejuice trailer, big Michael Keaton fan. And we also all did reactions to the Acolyte trailer. Lacey has a video and me and James did one as well. So check those out.
John watched it and called me a nerd.
Because what did you say that was so ridiculous?
I said, buckle up.
Buckle up. Yeah. But it was the way you said it. You go, buckle up.
Yeah. Things happen when I'm alone talking to myself.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, I do that stuff. Even when I'm not recording, I say dumb things to myself. But
yeah.
James, how about you? Where are you at?
I'm on social media at Meyer Trunks, but more specifically for the channel, I am doing Bad Batch Reaction Show weekly as the episodes come out on Wednesdays. Hey, Acolyte's coming out Tuesdays now, Tuesday mm-hmm. night.
Tuesday night.
Can we do this for the Bad Batch too? Come on, right? Guys. Tuesdays, let's go. Prime time, baby. We don't need 3 a.m. drops.
6 weeks left. 6 weeks left. That's Six it for the weeks. Bad Batch.
7 weeks left?
Something like that.
Yeah, 8 episodes, but 2 of them are playing the same week. So
just ballparking. Yeah. All right, Lacey, how about you?
People can find me on social media at Lacey Gillerin, on TikTok at It's Lacey Gillerin, and here on the channel talking about Star Wars on the podcast. Just, I love Star Wars.
You can find us at
rom-com and when you have other downtime.
Yeah, when I'm not taking care of my children and exhausted, yes. actually, it's been Love is Blind lately. That's been my hot thing.
I've watched Love is Blind too. I have to admit it. It's crazy. All right. Thank you, everybody. We hope you have a great week. We hope your spring is off to an awesome start and things start warming up. But we'll see you on Thursday night, TRB Live. So until then, from us here at TRB, see you around, kids.